Day in a gym, two young army recruits, Tomo and Gary, wear military green vests and black boxing gloves. They trade blows surrounded by fellow recruits. They shuffle back, size each other up, then launch into a flurry of punches.
Take it and give it back!
They step apart.
Good lads. You'll do for me, boys.
Back in line. Next.
Dark-haired Gary hunkers down.
Welcome to the regiment.
Watch your foot in, boys.
Come on, let's open up a bit. Open up a bit. Come on, stay with me.
The recruits run down a hill.
Steady.
One of the recruits trips and falls. They continue through a wide valley. Tomo and Gary are at the front of the group. They share a glance, then pick up speed. They crawl through a shallow stream on their elbows. Approaching two narrow concrete pipes, Tomo enters the left pipe, Gary the right. Gary exits the pipe.
Help him out, Thompson! Come on, drive it! Pressure! Up the hill and up the wall, go! Come on, get up there! Come on, get him back against the wall! Get him back, get him up there! Come on, stop messing around! No, can't get him up! Drag him up! Come on, that's it! Help each other! Help each other! That's it! Put your life in each other's hands now! Teamwork, boys, teamwork! Get him up! Well done, guys, get his knees up!
Gary and two others haul Tomo over the wall, then start running. The armed, helmeted recruits stalk through trees. One trips over. Gary and Tomo go to help.
What are you doing? Leave him! You can send him any back when you reach your objective. Now get back in formation before you get everybody killed!
The recruits on a target range. Night, officers march into the barracks, waking the recruits.
Hands off cocks and pull on socks! Come on, get belly! Platoon! Platoon, shut!
Because of the deteriorating security situation in Belfast, your regiment is now being deployed there on an emergency basis. Any questions?
We're not going to Germany.
You're going to Belfast. I take it you all know where Belfast is? Northern Ireland, the United Kingdom, here. You are not leaving this country!
Standing at the end of his bed, Gary frowns thoughtfully. Day, Gary's on the top deck of a moving bus. He wears his army uniform, a smart green jacket with a brown tie and grey shirt. There are just a few other passengers on the bus, all civilians, including a father and daughter. Gary frowns absently out of the window, holding his royal blue beret in both hands in his lap. He looks down at the beret. In a cafe, a young boy sits at a table with Gary's beret in front of him. He touches the regiment's gold and silver badge. Gary brings a tray of food and drink over and sits down opposite the boy, who has choppy, strawberry blonde hair. The boy casts a couple of glances at the tray. Gary watches him with a faintly furrowed brow. The boy's eyes rove between Gary and the tray.
How short we are.
Come on, Darren, kid, eat your food before it goes cold, mate.
Gary touches the tray. Darren looks down.
Hey, up. Listen. I don't want you worried about me, okay? I'll be fine, I promise you.
Now, come on, eat up. I'm not even leaving the country, so you got nothing to worry about.
Darren picks up his fork to eat.
Got a girlfriend?
No.
None? Let me see your teeth. You liar.
Darren breaks into a broad smile. On a hillside, they kick a football around. Darren tries to get the ball off Gary, who flicks it up with his heel. Darren kicks the ball at Gary, who's in goal against a brick wall. The ball whacks Gary in the groin and Darren grins. They both chase the ball. Gary stoops and lets Darren win the race, then grabs him as they arrive. He casually puts Darren over his shoulder and carries him around. Night, they arrive outside a children's home. Gary with his arm on Darren's shoulder.
Right, I'll be back soon, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure. Darren hugs Gary tightly.
All children must be back by 5 p.m. Wow. You of all people should remember that, Oak.
Darren goes inside and the sour-faced warden shuts the door, locking it behind him. Heading down a corridor, Darren looks back and gives a thumbs up. Gary returns the gesture, then smiles and nods. He turns to go, then stops and looks back through the glass door. An overcast day. A ferry leaves a foamy trail in its wake as it sails across the sea just off the Irish coastline. Gary's on deck in green fatigues with his beret on. The badge sits just over his left eye. The right side of the beret droops down towards his ear. He frowns, then his eyes rove up and down. Daylight over Belfast, a cathedral with two pointed spires towers above surrounding blocks of flats. The city stretches far beyond the cathedral, with factories and warehouses giving way to row upon row of terraced houses. Mountains rise on the misty horizon. A large caption highlights the city streets. 71. The sky darkens. An army truck drives across a bridge in the city. There are soldiers under the canopy, which is open at the back where Gary sits. He turns to watch the road. Night. Headlights flare as the truck, which has a ring of barbed wire on the bonnet, turns a tight corner into a military compound. Three soldiers enter the compound on foot behind the truck, which pulls up in the yard. The soldiers disembark.
Offload! Welcome to Ireland. Come down, I want you lining up with your gun over there. Quickly and up the stairs. Come on, move. Move. That's right, single file. Single file. Drop your gun off. Right. This is where you eat and sleep. I'll show you where you shit in a minute. Why you look so gormless? Were you expecting the fucking Ritz? Get your kit squared away. Get a fucking brew on. You're not at the depot now, boys. You got to look after yourselves. But don't worry. You'll only be staying here till one of the paddies shoots you anyway. Come on, hurry up and organize yourselves. Hurry up and come inside, man. Attention!
An officer enters the room.
At ease. I'm Lieutenant Armitage, your platoon commander. I just wanted to meet the new boys. I'm a bit of a new boy myself, actually, so... Yeah. Well, looking forward to getting to know you all over the next couple of days. Anyway, hello. Well, carry on.
With a thin smile, Armitage turns and marches out of the room.
You heard what the man said. Carry on.
The burly corporal leaves the makeshift barracks. The soldiers settle on their camp beds, which are lined up in two rows close to the bare floorboards. Without his beret, Gary's propped up on one elbow. He frowns absently, then puts his arm behind his head and lies back using his kit bag as a pillow. He looks up at the high ceiling, where five lampshades hang low into the middle of the space. The cream shades look as if they were meant for a civilian building. One has been replaced in blue. Gary stares at the lampshades, then averts his eyes. In the darkness, the rest of the platoon are asleep or unmoving. Gary stirs and scowls, then sits up on the edge of his camp bed. He remains in position with his arms on his knees and stares into the darkness. With his coat on, he wanders through a corridor. He stops by an open doorway, which leads out onto the fire escape. He finds the corporal sitting on the stairs, smoking a cigarette. The corporal looks round and catches Gary's eye.
You can't sleep?
Gary shakes his head and the corporal holds up his packet of cigarettes. Gary steps out onto the fire escape.
It's hot.
As he takes a cigarette out of the packet, three men in civilian clothes file through the open doorway and head down the fire escape. The first man wears a shoulder holster. Gary looks at the corporal.
Who were they?
MRF undercover guys. Nothing to do with us.
The three MRF men enter an officer's briefing.
Pay attention. Now, this is basic information, but very necessary. Roughly, very roughly, you can divide the city between the Protestant loyalist East, here in Orange, friendly, and the Catholic Nationalist West in green, hostile. Both communities have paramilitary factions itching to get at each other. You also need to be aware that within the Republican movement, we're seeing a split between the older official IRA elements and the younger, more radical street-fighting element, the Provisionals. This is the front line, boys. Catholics and Protestants living side by side at each other's throats.